Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Hey, good morning. Happy VBS Sunday. I want to let you know a few things real quick. One, as you came in, you hopefully got a worship folder. Inside that worship folder, we have information on the church. We have a connect. If you're new here, we want to connect with you. But we also have something we don't always have, but because it's VBS Sunday and it's a little special, we have some notes in there for you avid note takers, but we also have some little activities for our kids. Or for our adults that also like activities and are not ashamed of it, they're also for you. And so there's some things in there. Here's the only thing, though. Kids, I don't want you to get too lost in those activities because I do need your help today. So at VBS, we had this thing that we did where anytime you heard the Bible point, everyone in the crowd would yell. Okay. We need a little more for all the people in the back. Every time you heard the Bible point, you would yell, that's right, aye, Captain, let's go. Now, here's what I really like about that. One, it's exciting and fun, and two, it's like, oh, I'm listening for my cue. I'm like engaged, and I'm ready. When I hear my cue, I'm jumping on it. And so I want to continue that today. I'm going to change it just a second. To make it a little bit more challenging, all right? Are you ready? Every time you hear me say go, I want you to say, aye, aye, Captain, let's go. Okay, so every time I say go, or at least say, aye, aye, Captain, I want you to say, aye, aye, Captain, let's go. Treat it the same way. And I might slip up a few times, and I want to see if you're catching me, all right? Well, we had a great week at VBS. Our kids got to have a lot of fun. Our leaders got to have a lot of fun. We played some really great games. We did just some amazing music. We did fantastic crafts. I mean, I saw some of your kids' crafts, and they were so good. And then we made some new friends, and hopefully we learned something really great about God through the story of Jonah. See, I love this theme of Jonah that we are doing at VBS, and we also did the last 4 weeks, because we learned that Jonah is not just a story about some guy who gets eaten by a whale. We learned it's so much more than that. It's so much more than just some guy who gets eaten by a whale. It's a story that has all these twists and turns and unexpected moments and heroes that aren't really heroes. And most importantly, it has a deep message about God. And so today, we're going to wrap up our last 4 Sundays, and we're going to wrap up our last few days of VBS. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jonah. We're going to wrap it up, though, so it's going to be more of an overview. We're wrapping it up, and let's kind of wrap it up, summarize it real quick, so then we can get to 3 main ideas. We're going to wrap up the story of Jonah real quick, and as we do, kids, we have some visual aids that we definitely worked on and look so beautiful. They're great. Don't make fun of some of my handwriting later on. Okay, so let's wrap this up real quick. Let's remember, Jonah. Jonah's our main character, right? We're introduced to Jonah, and Jonah is a prophet. Now, a prophet is someone who gives messages from God and someone who gives messages about God. So that would make us think he's a pretty great guy, right? Well, we kind of learned that that's not necessarily the case. See, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah doesn't like the sound of that. Nineveh are these bad people, right? And he hates Nineveh. He doesn't like them. They're the enemies. He's their enemy, right? And they're his enemy. He doesn't like them. And so God tells him, head out. Ooh, see, you almost got me there. Head out to Nineveh. And instead, Jonah goes in the complete opposite direction. You got me. Jonah instead makes it to Tarshish. Here's a little map for you as it's being drawn. See, we have our little sign there. Nineveh's pretty close to where Jonah was. And so really he's not having to travel that far. But instead, he heads to Tarshish, which is across an ocean, basically on the other side of the world. He's trying to get as far away as he possibly can. He's running away from God. And it's kind of this twist, right? He's running away. This man of God is running away from God. Well, God chases after him. Jonah is in the boat. He's sleeping. And while Jonah is in this boat, we see that a storm hits him. And Jonah is sleeping in the boat. A storm hits, and he's still kind of sleeping, but the storm is so crazy that it terrifies all the other sailors. And you probably heard during the week from our captain who was on that ship about how crazy and scary it was. And while they're there, they're trying to figure out what's going on. And so they roll some dice, and somehow, I'm not quite sure, the dice spell out, it's Jonah. Maybe they had those dice. I don't really know, but it spelled it out. And so they went and they got Jonah, and they're like, Jonah, what's up? What's going on? Like, we figured out it's you. And Jonah's like, you caught me. I don't know what he said. But, you know, he's like that. And he's like, okay, you need to throw me overboard in order to stop the storm. And the sailors are like, well, we don't want to do that. Like, no, we don't want to do that. And he's like, no, that's what you have to do. You got to throw me overboard to stop the storm. So even though they don't want to, they throw Jonah overboard, and the storm stops. And here's one of the amazing twists, again, we see in the story. Here are these sailors who do not believe in God, do not worship God. All of a sudden, when the storm stops, they not only believe in God, they worship God, and they repent. They ask for forgiveness from God. These unbelievers, all of a sudden, they turn their hearts to God, the first part. Well, Jonah begins to sink. He's then, as he's sinking, all of a sudden, he's kind of swallowed up by this whale or this giant fish, whatever you want to say, and he's spending time inside of it, right? And while he's inside, he begins to pray. And he's praying, and it's kind of a weird prayer. See, Jonah never says sorry, which I don't really love, but he never says sorry, but he does do two things really well. One, he thanks God for chasing after him. And two, he says, okay, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it now. The fish spits him out. Jonah heads off to Nineveh, and now he makes it to Nineveh. In Nineveh, Jonah's now following along. He gets there, and he begins to preach just like God commanded. Only it doesn't really seem like he's trying, right? It doesn't really seem like he wants to kind of it to work, right? He's there, he gives a sermon, but the sermon's really short. He just says, 40 more days, and then you'll all be destroyed, basically, right? 40 more days, and you'll all be destroyed. And the crazy thing is, this really short sermon works. All the people who hear him believe and ask for forgiveness. The king believes and asks for forgiveness. There's this great revival happening in the city. It's a short, terrible sermon, and yet God moves in it. Maybe there's an application there for us preachers about like somehow a five-word sermon. I don't know, but there's something there that's happening. Jonah does this, and things are happening. And then we get to the end of the book. And when we get to the end of the book, it's a little bit strange, and this is where our big twists and turns and our big message really comes. Because at the end, at the final chapter in Jonah 4, Jonah is outside the city looking inward. He's seeing it, and he's sitting there, and he still doesn't like them. He wants them to get destroyed, and he's sitting, and God provides him this little plant, and he's sitting under the plant, and the plant provides him some shade, and Jonah's like, yay, shade, I love it. Everything's awesome. Unfortunately for Jonah, God also provides this little worm, and the little worm begins to eat away at the plant. And the plant, as you'll see in a second, at first you need to see it's a happy worm because the worm was quite happy. He got a lunch. Jonah, on the other hand, not so much, right? The plant, the worm eats the plant, and the plant begins to disappear. It goes away, and when it does, what we see is that Jonah gets really angry. He's upset. He's whining. He's pouting. He's angry. He's shaking his fists at God. And at the end, we get this conversation between Jonah and God. And God's like, Jonah, you cared so much for this plant you just got, but you didn't care about the people of the city. You care about a plant, but you don't care about people? And God says, aren't people more important than plants? And there's this tension that kind of rides where God is saying, I cared about the people. I cared about the people. And he says, isn't it okay for me, God, to care about these people? Isn't it okay for me to care about people in Nineveh who have lost their way? Isn't it okay for me, God, to love your enemies? And it's a tense moment. And then the book ends. Jonah doesn't reply. And we're kind of left wondering, well, why doesn't Jonah reply? Like, does he not think it? It does it on purpose. See, this question right there wasn't just for Jonah. It's also for the readers. It's also for you. It's also for me. God's saying, isn't it okay for me to love your enemies? See, this book of Jonah isn't just some Bible story we kind of read in like Sunday school to show like some great hero. So then we can be like, yes, let's be like Jonah. No, this story is about a great God who's really the main character. And a God who is so great that he goes. Oh, see, that time I caught you. He goes great lengths to love you and to call you to something more. Here's this 3 points I want us to see as we wrap everything up. Point number one is this. Point number one is this. God's great love goes after you again and again. Again and again. If we take a deeper look into this story, we see the hero is not Jonah, it's God. When Nineveh was this city full of big and bad and evil people that no one loved, God loved them. When no one else cared for them, God cared for them. When no one else would love them, God loved them. See, this is the amazing thing about our God. He doesn't just love people that are easy to love. God doesn't just love the people that smile all the time, that clean up after themselves, the people that say like please and thank you and hold the door open and always get their work in on time. God also loves the kid who is super loud and crazy and can't sit still. God also loves that mean teacher no one likes. God also loves the boss who calls you in on a Saturday. God loves the playground bully. And we're hit with kind of this tension. Alexander, can you come up for me real quick? I have my volunteer for me, Alexander. Alexander is one of our great kids here. Here's why this point is so important. See, if God is loving these, you can just stand right here for me, buddy, thank you. I mean, you can preach the sermon if you want. If God's loving those people, this is important because we can think, well, if there's these moments that creep into our life and we think, how on earth could God love me? How could he love me? I'm always in trouble. I've lied about many things. I've cheated on my test. I cheated on my wife, my husband. I did this, and I feel so bad about it. I'm not even sure I can love myself. How can God love me? It's in these moments we need to see the God of Jonah, who loves and chases after Nineveh, the worst of the worst, who loves and chases after Jonah, the person who's supposed to do the right thing and doesn't. See, this great God, he wants to pour out his love on you again and again. He wants to pour out his love for you again and again. See, when we think we're too bad to deserve it, God pours out his love for you. When we think we're like Jonah and we're supposed to be doing the right thing, but we don't, God still pours out his love on you. And here's the most important part. When we think we've done too much, and we think, man, there just couldn't possibly be any left for God to pour out on me. It's out. I've run out of options. We see that God pours out his love again and again and one more time for a good show. Again, thank you so much, buddy. Give a round of applause. God pours out his love on us again and again. Even when we think it's run out, we see that God pours out his love for us again and again. Here's the other thing, though. Point number two, we see this, that God calls us to go Love our enemies. To love our enemies. This is the big thing. This is where Jonah closes out the message. And we're left with that question. See, if you joined us on January and February, you kind of already know the big twist of Jonah. But this big twist of Jonah, if you weren't here, is that Jonah ran away, not because he was afraid of the Ninevites. He wasn't like afraid they were going to hurt him. Jonah ran away because he hated the Ninevites so much, and he was afraid that God, who's a good God and loves us, will love them and forgive them. And Jonah doesn't want that to happen. And so he runs away from them. He is afraid that God, the real main character, would love his enemies. This is why Jonah's upset. He wants the Ninevites to fry. God, though, wanted to love the Ninevites. And he wanted Jonah to love them, too. This is where I think things get hard, right? We love when God pours out his love on us, but then we don't love it so much when God pours out his love on people we don't like, or people who have hurt us, who pick on us at school, who abandon us or make fun of us or call us names, people who divorce us. We don't like it when that happens. God, though, loves and chases after those people too. And even more challenging, sometimes he might call us to be like Jonah and to go and love our enemies. I almost thought you were going to miss that one. He's calling us too. And so when we are called to be Jonahs, how will we respond? Will we pout and throw a fit? Will we run the opposite direction? Will we throw ourselves into the ocean thinking, oh, this will solve it? Or will we let the great love of God change us and shape us and turn us into people who can love our enemies, even when it's hard? Here's point number three. Point number three is this. God calls the unlikely to go. He calls the unlikely. Here's something so interesting I was really thinking about with Jonah this week, is that Jonah seems like a pretty bad pick. Like, why did God pick Jonah? He doesn't seem like he has the right qualities. He doesn't seem like he's the number one overall pick draft choice. I'm a big baseball fan. I love the Dodgers. I love baseball. I've been playing it forever. I coach. I understand drafting. You know, I understand how it works. I always watch the MLB draft or the NFL draft, and sometimes a number one pick is obvious. I think it's 2024, the number one pick in the MLB was a guy named Paul Skeens. He's a pitcher for the Pirates, and Paul Skeens is an obvious number one choice. He throws 102 miles an hour. He's big, he's strong, he has a great slider, and he even made up a new pitch called the splinker. He's like that good, he can just make up pitches on the fly and it works. And he won Rookie of the Year his first year. He's like an obvious number one choice. Jonah's not. Jonah has a lot of flaws. It doesn't make sense. He's flaky. He's whiny. Apparently, he's not a good public speaker. I mean, according to the story, it feels like he can't even swim. I mean, you're picking a guy who can't even swim? Like, what's going on? He doesn't make sense. And yet, with God, Jonah is a part of one of, if not the greatest revival of all times. Jonah's a part of one of the greatest revivals of all times because he's with God. God calls the unlikely to go. See, we often think that God can't use us for big things. We have so many different reasons. Maybe I'm too young, or I'm too small, or I'm not a good speaker, I'm not good around other people, I'm still in school, I work too much, whatever it may be, we have all these lists of reasons. We feel like, well, we're an unlikely choice. God wouldn't pick us. I've got good news for you, and I've got bad news for you. If God can use Jonah, God can use you. And so we need to be ready as well. Here's the last thing, and this is my like kind of application, my call to action for you. If God can use Jonah, then he can use you. So, don't wait. Go. don't wait. Go. God's calling us to more. His love is so great, but it's also moving us, it's changing us, and he's calling us to more. We can't sit back and wait. There's this great picture from my college that really moved me, and it's something that sat with me for a long time, and I probably even brought it up because it's so impactful in my life before. But I went to school in downtown Chicago at a place called Moody Bible Institute, and it was this place basically where everyone there was trained to either be a pastor, a children's pastor, a youth pastor, or like a missionary. And so they were basically planning to one day go out and do something great for God. Some of you got that. Only some of you. But here's the thing. There was this mural in the center of the school. It looked something a little bit like this. But on top of it, it said, "This is your mission field." And if you don't know, that's the skyline of downtown Chicago, where we were. And it said, "This is your mission field." And here's why I love it so much. Because we were a school of people that were going to go do something one day. There was one day. But the idea of this was, you don't need to wait for one day. God could be calling you to do something now and here. You're in a city full of hurting and needy people, people that need to hear about Jesus now. You don't need to wait till you're off in some distant land or distant country or till a church has hired you. God will use you now. PCC VBS, let me tell you this. You can hit the next one, Danny. This is your mission field. This is your mission field. We didn't paint this, but this is your mission field. Here's your little lighthouse down the street mural. This is your mission field. You don't need to go to Tesoro or Bombo, though you should. You don't have to be a part of that team to be a missionary, right? God is having you on mission now, right? Your schools, your sport teams, your jobs, your music groups, your neighbors. There's opportunities now to show the love of God. And so my last call is this. PV, Redondo, Torrance, Carson, South Bay, Manhattan Beach, LA are waiting. So don't wait. Go. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your great love, for how you pour out it on us again and again, how you chase after us, Lord. We just ask that we can be so moved and shaped by your love, by your character, by who you are, that we can be more and more like you, and that we can be people who eagerly want to show that same love to others, even the people that are hard to show it to. God, so make PCC, make VBS, make these people really a lighthouse for you, till that can move and shape and eagerly join in all that you're doing here in this area and around the world. We pray this in your name. Amen.